Coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation, it's your host, Doug Hagman.
And welcome to Hagman. It is the Hagman Report for today. It's Thursday, April 7th, 2022. Just want to say happy anniversary to my beautiful bride of 30 years plus, right? Okay, happy anniversary. And but I want to say thank you to all of the viewers and listeners to this show for allowing us to bring you or your belief and your trust in us as you allow us to bring you the information unfiltered and unfettered. Very special show today. Steve Quayle from stevequayle.com, gen6.com. Make sure, folks, make sure you sign up for his private briefings and also the Q-files, but private briefings specifically, because there you will find a lot of information you're not going to get anywhere else. And also with Steve is Science Guy. I don't want to say this is part three, but this is kind of part three of the two parts that he did last week, or it was recently, and they were very popular programs. And this is an insider, and that's all I'm going to say. Steve can say more about it, but really, at this point, folks, if you haven't already got the memo, World War III has already started in terms of, if you want to number the wars. This would be the Third World War. Some say that World War IV, but certainly World War III. As we know it. And with that, I'm going to turn it over to Steve Quayle, stevequayle.com, gen6.com, and Renaissance Precious Metals as well. But Steve, let's get right into it.
Well, I think it's important, Doug, that you made the statement, and we're going to give the evidence of that statement that World War III has already started. And I've never seen a more nonchalant, almost cavalier attitude to what's going to be the most devastating to human life, and not just the initial blast and thermal wave and the, if you will, the immediate results, but the secondary results. And we have an entity in the White House even joking by he made the statement, well, I might even be responsible. I might even start World War III. Yes, sir, you are and you will. Biden jokes about starting World War III. So with that, I'm going to bring Science Guy on. And again, Science Guy, thank you for what you've been doing and what you've been sharing with us. But deal with this from a reality-based, I'd say, this experience that you've had in the Defense Department, working with them, advanced weapon systems. But just, you know, you're out of the country. You're pretty much an expatriate. You're not patriotic, but you're an expat, someone who can't live in the United States due to let's just say this, people that want you off the planet that would like to take your life. And by the grace and mercy of living God, that is not possible because your job isn't finished. So as sitting outside the country, SG, look at the cavalier attitude and get into it and tell people why, how you see it's going to play out and the timing of the playing out. And thank you for coming on with us.
Okay, glad to be here. Well, I'll just jump right into it and say it like this. If we look around the world, we see the following. We see Russia bringing people in to the Russian civil defense shelters with the iodine doses, potassium iodide to help with radiation issues for people. We see all the Eastern Bloc, what used to be the Eastern Bloc countries that were part of the Soviet Union, they've already done that 2-3 weeks ago. The rest of Europe just started that today. The EU ministers are now paying 500 million euros for medical stuff, first responder teams, blah, blah, all the things that you would do if you knew that you were at the edge of a thermonuclear war type issue, okay? The USA, China is doing the same thing. Japan, Indonesia, everywhere you look, it's all happening. The USA is the only country. Again, I'll say it. The USA is the only country that has done zero. In fact, they've done zero for the military. As shocking as that may be, yes, they have certain ships and things already carry a supply of potassium iodide, but for the masses of soldiers, do they have that? No. They just ship 110,000 soldiers to Poland, and there's another 100,000 coming soon by heavy-duty airlift. So let's see. We just shipped 200,000 soldiers out of the USA to go to Europe to go to war. And they were told, you are going to where? They're going not just to Poland. Poland is only the landing point. They're going to cross the border into the Ukraine.
What happens then? Yeah, SG, obviously, what happens then? Because there's a disconnect on what's going on in Poland. Obviously, I think it's six times, maybe seven now. President Putin said what's going to happen is he's going to use nukes. So at this point, if you would lay out the, I would say this, the absurdity of the different mindsets that the United States still believes is going to fight in essence, a World War II thought process with, artillery and tanks and men versus...
That's correct.
Okay, lay that out for people. It's really
okay.
Critical.
There's a bunch of very critical things. Number one, NATO, Joe Biden, and the U.S. military, that conglomeration of leadership, are thinking World War II, Cold War, tanks, mobile artillery, blah, 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 conventional weapons. Putin admitted openly that, yes, if they put all their assets pushing against Russia, they could probably win a grind them down conventional war, okay? Except for a couple details. Number one, the weather. The weather is what saved Russia when Germany ran over the top. And as a matter of fact, it was about this time of year when Germany rolled into Stalingrad and lost that city because the Russians pushed back because the Russian the German tanks got stuck in the mud. Okay? Hello? It's the seasonal time in that part of the world where you're between the hard frozen ground and the dry ground of summer. It's the yuckiest time to have a ground-based war. Okay? Now, if you're a leader in Russia and your whole country is at stake, even multiple leadership, even the newscasters have precisely and clearly said, if our nation is at risk, we will use every weapon in our arsenal to defend ourselves and our nation, including all nuclear and other types of intense weapons. Period. The end. That means that literally, as soon as it starts, it's going to roll over very fast, and the first few hours, or even 24 hours, will be the critical time. Okay? And I can hear people say, wah, 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 wah. That's what's going to, people are going to say, wah, wah, wah. No, I got news for you, folks. Russia has over 8,000 various size nuclear weapons. They have over 12,000 thermobaric weapons of various sizes.
Explain those, please, because people don't understand thermobaric weapons. So
I was just going to get to that.
Okay.
The largest thermobaric weapon on the planet has a blast equivalent of 44 million tons of TNT. Okay? Now, you say, oh my goodness. Well, it's worse than that. What's unique, a thermobaric warhead or bomb, however you want to describe it, is one that the weapon itself has the fuel and the igniter, and it pulls the oxygen from the immediate air surrounding it to be the oxidizer for the explosion. So what happens literally is in milliseconds and microseconds, folks, the air gets sucked in like a great big vacuum, okay, to feed the starting of the explosion. And then microsecond later, the pressure wave goes back out and the fireball. So it's a quabom, quabom, like that. Just take your hand, Steve, put them apart, shoulder, and then wham it together and then blow it out big. That's exactly what's happening. A nuclear weapon simply explodes outward and you have the outbound pressure wave. Thermobaric has it both ways. You see how deadly that is?
Continue, because I don't think most people even knew the word thermobaric. Now, a lot of people know fuel air explosive, and that's interchangeable with a thermobaric bomb. It's kind of a what's called an overdriven explosion. So you're saying it's a 1-2 punch. It's not just a single punch. Okay. And thermobarics don't leave a radioactive fallout to deal with. It's basically everything just gets whacked, double whacked. It's just a 1-2 punch, is it not?
Yes, and in fact, a thermobaric weapon is in fact a fuel-air bomb. It's in that class of fuel-air bomb. The difference is that they have highly tuned chemicals to cause the explosion to happen more rapidly, okay? Because what they're looking for in the design of such a device is the implosion where it steals the oxygen from the air. They want that to happen very fast. That way it goes whomp. It's like clapping your hands together. And then the explosion happens and it blows outward. And what happens there is, for example, I'll relate to a nuclear weapon. A nuclear weapon, you can be several kilometers away and you'll get a 20 pounds per square inch overpressure over the normal air pressure, and that'll knock buildings down. Well, a thermobaric weapon does that two times within microseconds. That means you just suck the buildings toward you, and then you blew them the heck away from you. Okay, so what you effectively done is the damage of the blast radius is about 2x the diameter. Okay, now, like you said, there's no radiation after effect. It's just a super hot fireball. It burns everything in its path, just like a nuclear weapon, but no radiation, and they're cheap to build. They could, you don't have to refine anything to do it. You just mix the chemicals, put them in the container, and put the igniter in, and you're off.
Explain, too, if you would, that thermobaric, on lower yield thermobarics have already been used in Ukraine. And, somebody's going to have to take out those biolabs because the evidence of race-specific and genetic-specific, genotype-specific weapons are there. And will you explain how big a deal that is, and that there's only two ways to get rid of it and make sure that none of the pathogens escape, is either with thermobaric or nuclear? And because of the fallout issue, would you expect that we're going to see someone use thermobaric weapons to take out those biolabs, which, again, I don't think the American people understand what's been going on there. So will you define what's been going on in the biolabs in the Ukraine, for what purposes, and then how soon? And everybody wants to know timing. So to the best of your knowledge, SG, how soon before there is a takeout and, I mean, literally blowout or incineration of those labs in Ukraine?
Okay. Well, first of all, the USA, I'll back up and give you a tidbit of background that's important. The USA has been financing 336 biosecure level 4 labs throughout the world. 26 of them are in the Ukraine. And there is a deep bunker lab that has biosecurity level 5 pathogens. And why is that? Well, it's because they are gene-specific viruses, meaning, let's say that you went to the hospital, they take a blood sample, they do whatever. If the person running that lab got a hold of anything from you, skin sample, hair sample, blood sample, you name it, they could take it and tune a virus to all the people related to you or to you specifically, or to people in your whole group. Like, example, obviously, Russians are related. Chinese people are related, and so on. So having a race-specific, group-specific virus that you can then program to be something simple like the flu, something terrible like a hemorrhagic thing that blows your eyes and ears and organs out. You can put whatever you want inside that shell, that virus shell, because that virus shell only opens up when it's in contact with the right genetic material, which is whatever it's programmed to do. Now, that, ladies and gentlemen, is why everybody is so hostile about the thing. And I'm sure you've all heard the news that there's a bunch of American officers and NATO officers. Yeah, that's right. Whoop, NATO money in Ukraine, and they're begging Russia to let them out of the city. And guess where they're located, guys? Take a wild flying guess. Where do you think that those officers physically are right now, today, whatever time it is over there? Where do you think they are in that city?
Doug, you go ahead and guess, and I'll guess.
You know, in that city? Is that what you asked me?
Yes, in that city of Mariupol, or however you say it.
Well, I would say somewhere really, really safe underground.
My guess is they're in the BSL-5 area, because it's the most secure. And obviously, they were probably sent that there, were they not, Doc, to make sure the mop-up operation was going off. And I don't think people understand. This isn't...
They were sent specifically... I'll repeat it again. They were sent specifically, number one, to collect all the lab notes and other things, as well as samples of the active pathogens. Yes, that's the viruses. Some of which are just the shells. Some of which are complete, blah, 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 ready to go to work. Okay? and be made in big batches for dispensing. And then they're supposed to get out. But guess what? They're trapped in a deep underground base right smack in the middle of the city. And guess who's sitting right on top of the entrance?
Russia's?
Yeah, a bunch of Russians happen to be sitting there eating whatever breads and meals and other junk that they get, okay? And it's no accident that the now, at some point, there's also another little detail that you all need to be aware of. If you think this is a joke, guess again. The USA has a bunch of what's called deep bunker buster bombs. They can reach down to a bunker that's at least 1,000 feet or more below the ground and blow it open, okay? A whole bunch of them and some planes to deliver those type of bombs to that exact location have already been dispatched to Europe. I wonder why. Well, let's see. Which is worse? Doug, okay, you're the investigative reporter here. Which is a worse situation for a person like Joe Biden to be in? Not having the data on the thing that was paid for, I mean, it gets lost in explosion, or having all the information of what you did pay for exposed to the entire world, which would be a worse political situation?
Well, let's put aside the fact that he's, you know, Mr. Marvels at the moment. I would say the latter as opposed to the former. You don't want to know. I mean, Pete, you don't want this stuff to get out and have these conspiracy theories confirmed, do you?
There you go. Well, now, I look at this from a practical standpoint, okay? Now I'm going to put my Vladimir Putin hat on just for a minute. I'm sitting there over in my bunker out in the Ural Mountains, and I got a choice to make. Here's the choices. Do I either try to get into the lab and get all the data? Not a bad goal, but if that's unobtainium or almost impossible to do without grave risk, then you have no choice but to blow it up because the bioweapon sitting in that lab is aimed at you. So you see, he's in a situation of the contents of the lab have to get destroyed, even if the data of how it was made and all that stuff is saved in some way. You understand the problem?
Oh, yeah.
Yep. Okay. Therefore, I submit to you that for that reason, and by the way, there's 25 other labs like it, for that reason, World War III has already started. They're trying to defend against the bioweapons that are being made to kill them. Second point. A bunch of Tomahawk missiles have landed in Poland. Well, okay, you say, oh, well, it's just a little Tomahawk. Yeah, Tomahawk with a nuclear warhead is a nuclear warhead and can take out a big chunk of a city. And if it's not a big one, can take out a whole city. Okay? Now, let me see. You're in Philadelphia. And how far are you, say, from the East Coast waterline? If you drive a straight line.
Pretty darn close. I mean, within, go ahead.
Are you within a couple hundred miles?
Oh yeah. In Philly. No, I'm on the other side of the state, but in Philly. Yeah. I mean, it'd be very easy to get to the coast.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it'd be like this. It'd be like saying, oh, Doug, I just parked a bunch of cruise missiles with nuclear warheads, and they're all sitting along the U.S. coastline, and I can blow them off anytime I want. But don't worry. They're just to deter you. That's it. That's the magic word. Deter. Well, no. That's exactly the situation that happened, why the U.S. wanted the missiles back out of Cuba. But the part of that story that nobody in the West knows about is the fact that the USA had missiles as close to the Russian border as Cuba was to the U.S. border. And what made the deal work in the end was the USA agreed to pull their missiles back away and send them back to the U.S. And Soviet Union would do the same. But the condition was both sides were never to tell the story of the missiles that the U.S. took out of the way, because the U.S. didn't want to be embarrassed.
Yep, that was the back channel communications between RFK and his contemporary, I believe.
That's right.
By way of JFK, and there were some missiles in Turkey. So,
yep.
Yeah.
Anyway, having said all of that, the rest of what's going on is suddenly all of Europe is in wartime stance, meaning their wartime factories are running 24/7, their bullet factories, the tanks, but they're all forgetting two things. Okay? If you, I'll turn you into the leader of Germany, okay? Here you're in charge of Germany, all right? You've got lots of factories that have the machine tools and da-da-da-da-da-da. You can make all that stuff real quick. What's the most critical thing that those factories need?
Well, you're going to need both supplies and manpower.
Hey, you left out a big deal. What? Energy to run the stupid machines.
Oh, well, yeah, okay.
Well, guess what? Your raw material metal comes from Russia. Your energy comes from Russia. Do you think for one second, Doug, that since you put all these nasty, bad sanctions on Russia, that they're going to help you? No, not a chance. Not a chance in the world. Oh, and don't worry. You won't be able to plant next year because you got no fertilizer. You see what's happening here? Everything is all converging because the people writing the sanctions, number one, are not technology people. Number two, they only think, oh, well, we can cut their money flow if we cut this and we cut that and we cut this over here and blah, 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 blah. I got a newsflash for you. When Russia turned a tap off of Europe, Modi in India was standing right there beside Putin practically saying, boy, can you give me all that extra gas? And the boys up in Siberia at the gas field just flipped open the valves going down to India more to take up for the lack that Europe is not getting. Whoops. How much damage was done to the oil and gas cash flow of Russia because of that? The answer is zero.
Exactly. Now, can I ask, I want to interject a question here, okay? May I?
Go right ahead.
Okay. Now, this is a military question. Before you stray too far from the armaments, the missiles and such, yesterday or the day before, I'm not sure which, but I think it was the day before, Matt Gaetz, Representative Matt Gaetz, had a row with Lloyd Austin, okay? And it made a big deal about things. I got about 25-30 seconds to show you, okay, as a kind of a cornerstone for the question.
Sure.
Okay, all right. Here it is. This is Matt Gaetz having a row with Lloyd Austin, the head of the military of the United States of America. Here it is.
Well, I mean, I've also seen that we're behind, Mr. Secretary. We're behind in hypersonics. We failed to deter Russia. Last year, China flew more sorties.
What do you mean we're behind in hypersonics?
Who's ahead in hypersonics?
How do you make that assessment?
I don't know. I make that assessment because China is fielding hypersonic weapon systems, and we are still developing them. I make that assessment because Russia actually used one. By the way, your own people brief us that we are behind and that China is winning. Are you aware of the briefings we get on hypersonics?
I am certainly aware of briefings that we provide to Congress.
But it's okay. Not just the hypersonics.
Now that goes on. There's a lot before and a lot after, but nonetheless. Okay, so before we move on from the armaments and the missiles and such.
Yes, the USA is 20 years behind Russia and China in advanced development.
Okay.
And I don't want to hear from anybody that the F-35 is the most advanced fighter in the world. That's a lie. It's the biggest boondoggle I have ever seen in my life. It's $1.5 trillion thing that Lockheed Martin does not want to lose the primary contract on. So even with 15,000, I'm going to repeat that number, 15,000 documented faults in that airplane, 5,000 of which are fatal, they still keep manufacturing them.
Okay. All right, but before you get to the F-35s, I want to ask this question because to me this is critically important. You spoke about hypersonics. Steve talks about hypersonic weapons. Gaetz just spoke about hypersonic weapons. Hold that F-35 thing for a second. Okay, but you also in that extension that you were talking about of the, right after the missiles, you were talking about sanctions. Okay, and about the gas, the energy. Okay. Speaking of sanctions, this just came out. Biden, his regime, put sanctions on Russian oligarchs. A mega yacht, this huge boat owned by Viktor Vekselberg, was just seized by the United States in an asset forfeiture based on Russian sanctions. Here's my question. Well, here's part of the question, statement question. Vekselberg, who is part of Renova or is Renova in Russia, contributed to Skolkovo. And some people might remember that from a decade ago. Skolkovo was to be the Silicon Valley of Russia just outside of Moscow. But it was a dual-use type of operation. It had military applications to it. Now, back in 09, specifically, when Hillary Clinton was Obama's Secretary of State, took that red reset button over to Russia, you know, that translated was ill-translated into overpriced, but overcharged, that is. But that aside, this was during the time when Vekselberg, the guy that just got his boat repoed by the United States, by Biden, through his sanctions, Vekselberg was responsible for the development of Skolkovo, which subsidized Bill Clinton to the tune of $500,000 for a speech he gave in Russia. From Renaissance Capital, which is connected to the Russian, Russians, period, Kremlin, Putin, and all that. And over half of the companies involved in Skolkovo are Clinton Foundation donors. Now, I said that because Obama, at the same time, pushed for Russia, pushed Russia into new agreements with the World Trade Organization. Okay, so my question is this, and it's a multi-part question. You spoke about the weaponry, the thermobaric bombs and the nuclear bombs and such. You heard Matt Gaetz say, you know what, we're behind on all of this. The question is, this is not a design flaw, or is it? It almost seems you cannot be this incompetent either in government or in military to allow Russia, China, and other countries to outbuild you in these armaments and technology. Or can you be that stupid? And the implications thereof. Go ahead.
Let me help you out.
Thank you. I need help.
Okay. Number one, how do you think that all the generals who get pushed out or retired pay for their rich, fat retirement plans?
Lobbying,
I'll
speaking?
Help you.
Help me.
Okay, you're a four-star general. You're sitting in the Pentagon. You got the power of the pen for part of a project. And you talk to the Litton guy who comes in to talk to you privately, and you say, yeah, okay, I need, you know, $300K a year for 10 years, and I'll sign this thing in your favor. Are we got a deal? Huh. And the Litton guy says, of course. Okay. Signature goes. And that money, by the way, is simply added to the cost of the project. That's how come that something that any other country could do for a fraction of the money takes billions, hundreds of billions, or trillions of dollars to accomplish in the U.S. Because you got to pay Congress, you got to pay the generals, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Okay?
Okay.
Now, how do I know that? I know that because I used to be in Washington, D.C. as one of them high-paid consultants for part of the time for problems that they got really stuck in. Things that were broad-based technical, meaning multiple disciplines required to solve the problem, and very short on time because they screwed up and politically sensitive, and they wanted to dish it off to somebody that they could off it to and wipe their hands and do the denial thing, okay? And I would always get asked this question. Okay, you stated the price for the deal. What other kickback do you need? And I just looked at him and I say, the price I stated is the price for the deal. End of story. And by the way, I will check the money flow, and there better not be any extra going to any other people because there's no need. End of story. And I said, you don't have to sign a document to me, Sir General, if you don't want me here, but it's your problem right now. If you want to make it my problem, pay up. Do you know, Doug, every single time they paid up, because every single time I laid the path down and I didn't fail.
Wow. Okay. All right.
Well, I think too. Hey, let me just step in here. I want to get back on track, and that's really critical. But what he's saying, ladies and gentlemen, he wouldn't take any payola, even though he was offered huge money. When we first met, SG and I, years ago, you know, some of the deals that they tried to bribe him with, when he turned them down, then they decided to get rid of him because of his expertise in certain areas. But I think I really need you, SG, to talk about just Austin. When you played that, Doug, Austin doesn't know what he's doing. All he's doing is just, in my opinion, destroying the military from within. Same thing with Milley. You've been in the defense world long enough, SG, to say you've seen treason, Milley giving the Chinese information. You've seen, obviously, the destruction of not only the morale or the morality in the military, but the physical destruction of how many servicemen are dying by the vaccination. This is critical, Doug, because in essence, this man who's the Secretary of Defense, SecDef, is responsible, in my opinion, for the accelerated destruction of the U.S. military. Is that an accurate statement, sir?
He's the Secretary of Death, not Defense.
Touche. Better, well, more well stated. Again, how many, just so people who are listening to this podcast understand, broadcasts, understand how many U.S. military servicemen are dying from the vaccine, and why would anybody who is in charge of the military do that unless he was working for someone else other than the Constitution and the, if you will, the whole capability of the United States to defend itself. We are absolutely like lambs to the slaughter because these people are intentionally destroying us. Is that a true statement or not, sir?
That is a very true statement. And in fact, I'll go one step further and say that the USA is in this current mess because the people, that's right, the people failed to do their part and say, we the people. Where is the we the people out there going into Washington, D.C. and routing out the evil? The answer is everybody's saying, oh, no, I'm afraid.
Yeah, we have to be peaceful, right? I mean, peaceful protest. And just to rehabilitate myself in the event I took you off track, what you were saying about the weaponry, okay, Russia, that Russia has, and Russia prepositioning, we are prepositioning. I just wanted to kind of drive home the point. It was Obama, Clinton, and all of the oligarchs on our side that set this up. The very weapons that are going to be used against us, hypersonic, thermobaric, all that, is because of our technology that we gave them that are pointed at us. That's kind of, I just want to rehabilitate myself on that.
Now, go ahead. I'm gonna say one other thing. The other thing that has not happened, and I'm a direct witness to this, okay? I'm going to take you guys back 40-plus years, okay? I wrote a document, 1,700 pages long, on the dangers of open networks for things like military security, banking security, all of that, okay? In that document, I stated proven ways to attack computer systems, which I proved, and people from the NSA organization you've heard of, and this happened back in the days when NSA meant no such agency, okay? Everybody just referred to it as the agency. Well, I got called in one afternoon by the boss, and he said, we got to go down the tank. The tank is a sealed room, and talk to some people from the NSA. White-haired man from the NSA said to me, he said, sir, that's the most complete document that I have ever seen on the topic of computer security and encryption destruction. I said, thank you. He said, it is in fact so sensitive that there's only two copies and they're both in paper. They are not held online. I said, okay, why are you so worried? The cat's out of the bag, so to speak. People are going to figure it out in time, even if I don't say anything. And he said, that's the trouble with people like you. You're absolutely deadly. because you find the holes. Now, the U.S. failed, F-A-I-L-E-D, failed to, at that point, start a cyber warfare unit, even inside the NSA, to not only just listen and break codes and stuff like that, but to actively probe computers of the other side. Meanwhile, all the people, all the programmers on the other side said, hey, let's poke and see what we can find for ways to probe. So now what you have is you have a disproportionate number of people who understand the modern warfare. Modern warfare is not tanks and guns. Modern warfare is shutting computer systems down, shutting the power grid down, shutting down the command and control systems, shutting down banking, shutting down sales. Yeah, that's right. You know, if you shut down all that stuff, you don't have to do it with a nuclear weapon. If you shut down all the computers, you've killed the country, literally. Okay? That is why I claim that World War III is already running, because those attacks are already running now, live and hot in the U.S. and in Europe.
Can we segue into, Doug, because of the timing, can we segue to Science Guy into the financial situation that's going on? Because I want you to explain to people, you know, nothing gets anybody's attention except money, it seems like, in the United States. And that's a true statement, because what you just laid out with the corruption in the military industrial complex. But talk about the repudiation of the U.S. dollar. How soon? And for the record, Doug, we were, you know, we were informed of this. Doug and I were informed of this by Science Guy months and months ago. And the thing is that Operation Sandman, I mean, it's got to be incredibly a slap in the face of everybody in the United States when the United Arab Emirates, Qatar, Saudi Arabia, and everybody won't talk to the president of the United States, and they're getting ready to repudiate the U.S. dollar. Because we got a copy, you know, we've got, I don't know, 40, 50 minutes, whatever we got left. But please, please, Science Guy, hit that. Because in essence, until you hit an American in the pocketbook, you can't deal with their brains anymore, because for all various reasons. I'll just be kind.
Okay, here we go. Some 50 or 60 years ago, the USA traded military stuff, planes, blah, 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 you know, all the usual Cold War kind of junk, because they wanted the oil out of Arab land. So they cut these deals like, okay, you got to buy and sell oil in US dollars. And oh, by the way, we'll pay you in T-bills, which means you get to get interest on your dollar, the money you're making. Bottom line, the USA has been buying oil on credit for 55 years, gentlemen. 55 years. Now you go back and you figure out how many billions of barrels of oil that is out of the Middle East to the US being paid for in T-bills. Think about that. When you got that, your head wrapped around that, repudiation of the U.S. dollar means, number one, you don't want to get paid in U.S. dollars anymore in the year 2022. That's point number one. What do you want to get paid in? You want to get paid in rubles or gold. Why? Because rubles are backed by gold. So it's the same as getting paid in gold. End of story. Why? Because if Russia, the exchange bank in Russia, refuses to accept your euros or dollars or British pounds to exchange for rubles, you have to deliver gold to the OPEC nation in question to get your tankers of oil. This is not really tough to explain. However, there's still more. in their bank vaults in the Middle East, they have stacks of thousands of T-bills that they want to exchange back for gold or rubles. They'll take rubles or they'll take gold. Do you realize, Doug, what that will do to the U.S. dollar compared to the ruble?
Oh, yeah. No, useless. Make it useless. Well, near useless.
Okay. It's just, you just thermonuclearized the whole financial transaction system. Not the SWIFT system. It's just still moving money back and forth. What you've done is you've upset the basis for what's called the reserve currency. Reserve currency means that a nation, a small nation, could use U.S. dollars as backup to their currency so that people would believe that their money had value. If you take away that, you just shot that nation in the head, and they'll come right after you. So they're coming after the U.S. So what was formed was a project called Sandman. 155 nations out of 210 in the world so far have signed up to Sandman. Sandman is where everybody is going to dump the dollar and change it. Okay? Now, what do you think that will do to the standard of living, even if you don't drop a nuclear weapon, even if whatever, what will happen if suddenly everything goes up 100 times higher in price than it is right now? And your wages stay the same.
Good
but
night.
But the prices, you.
Yeah.
Okay? That is what is underway. That's what I call the financial World War III, which is even more deadly than the shooting, you know, the shoot 'em up type war. Okay? Why is that deadly? Think about it. Okay, so I'll pick a country. You're Estonia. You're a little former Soviet Union country on the edge of Russia and sandwiched to Europe, okay? Nice country, been there. Delightful people, very smart. What do you think will happen if the value of the U.S. dollar goes to zero? Will they ever believe any new currency that the USA issues? Yes or no?
A resounding no.
Good. You got the question right. You get 10 gold stars and go to the head of the class. In financial land, when you trash somebody that bad, they're never going to go back to you, especially something this big. Okay? So at the very best, the USA could start a new currency, not called the dollar, called something else, and use it for trade inside the country, but would never be able to use it for trade outside the country. Okay? What will that do to the status of the USA? It'll make it to be a 210th, you know, like a 210th world country down at the bottom of the stack. You go someplace else, money's not worth anything. What are you going to do? You know, it used to be an American passport, an American money. You could go almost anywhere. Nope, not true anymore. No. Okay? That has already happened so far. So, folks, the war is on. and your pocketbook is being hit. Your pocketbook is being hit in food and in fuel and all of that. Expect there to be fuel rationing, food rationing. Even if you could get it, it'll be priced out of your league.
Also, yeah, science guy, let me interrupt here too, because the whole world that is going to watch the repudiation under force majeure of the U.S. dollar, et cetera, isn't going to take the digital currency. Would you just give, your view and not only your opinion, but explain why the digital currency for an internal control mechanism is bound to fail too? Because you're going to have a lot of people that can't afford to eat. Go ahead and hit that if you would.
Sure. First of all, when I heard, we're going to make a digital currency, blah, 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 I said, bogus, man, bogus, bogus, bogus. Here's why it's bogus. First of all, how are you going to get all the people in the country, including all the homeless bums and other things like that, that you call them, to stand in line to get their stupid, unique ID card, which has their guaranteed base income every month on a little card. Ah, but you got to have your social credit or you can't spend that money. Ah, you can't travel outside your immediate area if you don't have the right social credit values. Ah, if you're not talking the right speak, if somebody catches you saying bad words about something, your social credit score is whacked and your sphere of influence starts collapsing. That, ladies and gentlemen, is already underway. The process for building those cards is already underway. I've seen the designs. It's there, okay? They're merging things they saw in China. And they said, we're going to improve on that so that we can watch everybody tightly. Now, why is that happening?
Will that be the ESG type card, the environmental, social, governmental, or I don't recall what the ESG stands for. Environmental is the first. Is that what you're talking about?
No.
Okay, good.
This is worse than that.
Okay. Go on.
It's your ID card. It has a picture of you on it. It has a magnetic stripe for the ATMs that still don't have the magic, memory card thingy interface. Has a memory card, has an RFID interface so it can be scanned, without contact. It's got a lot of junk in there, and it's got a whole lot of junk about you. Okay, it's got your personal credit. It's got your personal credit score. Yeah, your social credit score is carried in your card. It's also in the database, but it's in your card too. So even if you're cut off from the database, the local reader guy will say, you're not allowed to do that because you're dropped below X number of points. You've been a bad boy this month. No, you gotta recant and be good before you can do. Okay? That comes directly from Satan. Directly from where? Open your Bible, read Revelation. It's all there, tells you all about it. Without bowing, that's right, without bowing, without willingly surrendering to Satan, you cannot buy or sell. That's pretty clear. Okay? And they are rushing, Doug, to implement that. Now, what does God say about all that? What God says is, focus your eyes on Jesus. Trust me implicitly. And I will care for you. If you don't believe me, go back to the Old Testament. Look at what happened to Hebrews. They had to wander around the desert for 40 years. God supplied them food and water every day for 40 years. Even when other people started trying to bang on them, God always supplied them food and water. Okay? God can do anything. Nothing is impossible with God. There you go. Now, back to the questions of what does this all mean? What it means is your pocketbook's already been hit and raided, and you don't even know it. You'll know it because you're going to see $15 gasoline. Doug, does it cost any more to refine, to pump out of the ground and refine the gasoline when it's $1 a gallon, $2 a gallon, or $15 or $20 a gallon? Has the price to do those tasks changed?
No.
Okay. So what's with the increase?
Go ahead.
Oh, that's easy. Create an artificial shortage, and then the market rules, which every American understands, if there's demand and the demand exceeds the supply, the price goes up. Any idiot knows that. We're taught that in school. Duh. Okay. So what do you do if you want to raise the prices of something? You make an artificial shortage, right? Oh, okay. Here we go. Happening in the U.S. right now, corn shipments by rail to dairy producers and feedlot producers of cattle have been cut off. What does that mean? That means the price of milk is going to go up and the price of beef is going to go through the roof. End of story. What was the reason? Because the trains were told don't deliver. And how was that enforced on the trains? How do you think they forced the railroads to not deliver the corn on those trains? It's one thing you can do. What do you think it was?
Steve?
I'm sorry. I turned my mic off. So go ahead and say
it. Okay.
I'll say it again. I'll say it again.
Okay.
In the past couple days, all the corn going to feedlots and dairy producers were halted. Okay. Now, that means that the price of beef and the price of milk and cheese and all that's going to go through the roof. That's an obvious result. But how do you think the person that gave the order to the railroads prevented the railroad from delivering that commodity? It's obvious.
Yeah, it came from an executive order, and it came from, in essence, they were told to declare force majeure, correct?
Yes, but why? What's their legal reason that they are allowed to call a force majeure? The answer is simple.
Okay? War? Yeah. They
agreed to deliver the corn from point A to point B for N dollars, right?
That's correct. Okay.
Force majeure comes in when the fuel, the diesel, costs you more than it costs you, you know, it costs you more than you gained. That's when you can legally declare a force majeure against the delivery of that thing.
Okay? So then, and science guy, then the intentional shutting down the pipelines of the United States, the intentional sanctimonious sanctions against Russia,
the intentional starting World War III. They need all of, and they're rediverting all of the jet fuel, are they not, and diesel fuel. So in essence, it's a four-sided sword, a four-edged sword, you know. In all practicality, we're going to war, but the war is against the American people. The globalists want to starve the United States out of existence. People will not be able to, even all the private jets, unless they're the elite or somebody that's smart enough to make sure if they got a private jet, they got enough jet fuel. The thing is that this is all designed, is it not, to ultimately result in the destruction of the American economy, the American family, and literally it's just a destroying wind, if you will, to attack everything that's in. I'm closing my eyes, yeah, just to think this through.
I'll put this in words that everybody listening can understand. It has been said by multiple entities that a loss of 250 million lives in the North American mainland would be an acceptable result of World War III. Does that make sense? Does that hit home as to why you're already in trouble, guys? Pay attention. The warning signs are out there. The more people ignore them, the worse it's going to be.
Well, you know, 28 years ago, it's on my website. I posted a prophecy. I'm not a prophet, but I posted where God said there would be no trains running, no planes flying, no trucks running, as God himself is going to bring the United States to a standstill so people can consider their ways. Now, that's one of, I guess that would be the thing that I'm seeing now, but the point is, I don't know how to make this clear. 250 million people are scheduled for extinction, destruction, death. Is that an accurate statement?
That's what I just said, and I'll repeat it again. The entities, several of them, said, and I quote, 250 million dead Americans on mainland USA is an acceptable result for World War III.
And did not that entity, and you've seen obviously the translation of the glyph.
No, I'm saying multiple entities.
Correct, but Lucifer orchestrated all the entities and all the legions to facilitate that, did he not?
That is correct, okay? It all originates from Lucifer. That's true. But the part that's critical for people to understand, because they'll say, oh, well, you know, he's only a fallen angel. He can only do so much. Yeah, that's true. He can only be in one place at one time. And a true believer who's praying seriously and understands the authority of God has more power in their little finger than all the fallen angels and evil humans and the whole planet, period, and the whole universe. But is anybody standing up to that? No. And that's why it will cost lives. It will cost the lives of the people who were too busy eating donuts, drinking Starbucks, and thinking that coffee clutch time on a Sunday at a building supposedly called a church covers them, okay? Or other things. No. Your only protection is going to be the salvation and protection of Jesus and his power and authority and his mercy. Can't say it any more bluntly than that.
But meanwhile, what do we do carnally? What do we do here? We've been put on this earth, I believe, to fight, okay? At this point, if I'm going to die, if I'm going to be murdered by these entities, then I'm going to go out.
You,
I'm going to go out and blaze. Go ahead.
You have every right, and you're commanded, by the way, to defend yourself using the authority of Jesus. And I'll give you a good example, okay? Jesus gave an example in the New Testament, and he said, gentlemen, if you're doing what I tell you to do, and there's a mountain that's blocking your way, you can tell that mountain, move out of the way, and the mountain will get out of your way. It is literally that simple. It's that blunt. It's that bold. The problem is nobody's willing to take the personal liability and responsibility for using that kind of spiritual and physical authority. Okay? How do I know? I know because I have stood up to many face-to-face, many people that when they hear, go, oh, I wouldn't do that. You get killed easy. I said, not if I'm doing exactly what God told me to do. He'll protect me all the way, in and out. Always has, always will. That's where the focus has to be. Get the marching orders from the general above and execute. Okay?
SG, does it not surprise you? I want to step into this. Probably one of the most difficult issues is that Jesus said, if he was lifted up, he'd draw all men unto him. Nobody has laid out the end times more accurately or correctly than the Word of God and Jesus in Matthew 24, Luke 21, the book of Revelation. But in America, we are we have become a post-Christian culture. And I would ask you, you live, obviously out of the country, third world country, but now it'll be first world country pretty soon. But you've watched the reality of what I would call gospel-based miraculous intervention by God. In America, there is, actually it should be called Amaruca, land of the plumed serpent, where Satan reigns at this point. Where is, again, Doug's asking a question, and this is a question that even Solomon answered by saying, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? The only thing they can do is what God tells them to do. But as you look at the country you gave your life for and were willing to, and you've known a lot of vets who are here and they're gone now, because they laid down their lives. But in this country, what is it that keeps Christendom perpetually ignorant to the point of cooperating in their own destruction? Answer that one, because the God of this world has blinded our eyes. But I think Doug's saying, practically, what do we do? Well, we prepare, but we also look to fight for our lives. And if Christians won't fight in the spiritual realm, then how can they fight in the physical realm?
Because that's right.
That's a good question. Go ahead and answer it, because however long.
Sure. I'll refer you, if I may, to the project, for lack of a better way to call it, by Department of Homeland Security and FEMA called the Clergy Response Team, which I'm sure you've heard of.
I've spoken about it at length. Go ahead.
Okay. Bottom line, the function of that was to make all the Christians feel good to be able that they have to go to these camps to get re-educated. Bull. What it is the corruption of the leaders of the supposed evangelical church. This is two important things I need to tell you about what's going on related to church things. There is an official name for the new universal worldwide one-size-fits-all religion. It's called Chrislam. Okay? Now, what that is, obviously, is an evil soup supposedly blending Christian and Islam together. Well, they now have their sample church in the Middle East. Okay. Well, I got a story to tell you. There's a place in Asia where all of the various assorted cults, religions, and junk all congregated within about a 6-block radius, and right smack in the middle of that, they wanted to put the first Chrislam building, okay? Well, turned out that that interfered with the witness ministry of a little boy who cursed the building and fell down. He went back a few weeks later. They were building it again. He cursed it again and fell down. Third time he said, it's going to fall down, stay down, and never be risen again, anything except a church preaching the gospel of Jesus. And nothing has been done on that lot since then. Because they can't. Okay? So they had to run to the Middle East to quick build their new magic what's it church. Okay? Now, there's an example of what happens when a young, serious believer takes God at his word. Right there. Real simple. You know? Come up against, boom, bam, bam, bam. Okay? That's what we have to do. That's what I call spiritual to physical warfare. Did he have a gun? Nope. He had his voice. He had his hands. And he prayed. That, if that's all you can do, God will honor that. If you need a gun for something, God will honor that too. God will honor whatever it is that you are willing to bring to fight his battle and make what is a spiritual battle also down into the physical realm. Don't fall for the trap that, oh, that high spiritual stuff is over here and we're down here. We don't have to worry about that 6 days out of the week because we got our fire escape covered on Sunday. Okay? No, it doesn't work that way. It's a full-time, 100% on battle. Did I answer the question?
Doug, go ahead and elaborate because, I mean, you know, I want you to make sure you're getting the answer you're looking for because, Doug, I mean, and I think you should ask this question, are the people who are even aware willing to do anything? And this is a question for Doug, and then listen in, SG, if the entire Q phenomenon did nothing more than basically pacify and cause people to look to a man or the presidency and his cabinet, which were all, in my opinion, Luciferians. Bottom line is how do I say this? Is it reasonable to expect that outside of a very few, Gideon's 300, that enough people would rise up, Doug, to basically take on what you're saying? Then how should we then live? What should we then do? Go ahead, Sir Doug.
Yeah.
Sir Doug.
Sir Doug, yeah. Thanks. I don't want to be knighted. No, look, you asked the question and it provided some of the answers. Science Guy did too. Look, I believe in a righteous battle, in a godly, obedient battle in the physical. But again, it's got to be a righteous battle. So I'm not looking for a fight, but I'm also not looking to cede ground to Satan. Okay, so so knees first, prayers, and then obedience to God in the instructions received. Okay, now some people might say, well, you know, that's dangerous because, you know, but I believe that the true Christians, if you're true Christians, you will get the necessary download, you know, answer your prayers from God. So I think the question's been answered, but do we have, science guy, do we have the godly righteous authority for battle in the number of people here in the United States alone? I'm thinking, man, we don't.
I agree with you, Doug. Yeah. SG, would you respond to that? Obviously, you sit out of the country, knowing the people that you worked with, the systems you developed. You know the defense industry better than the idiot that testified before Congress, and he's an idiot, in my opinion. You know, as you see American evangelifish, that's what I call them. That's my word. I mean, people are more offended. Go ahead, SG. Answer that if you would.
Okay. First off, I'll say that more than an idiot, he is a hardcore liar. Okay? It's all needs to be said.
Secretary of Defense, that's who you're saying.
Yes. The Secretary of Death is a hardcore liar. Okay? Next, to answer your question, did God save the nation of Israel with only the 300 from Gideon's little group? The answer is yes. Will God save parts of the U.S. where his people are? The answer is yes. Will the nation as a whole ever be restored? The answer is absolutely not, and I'll tell you why. Okay? Both of you. You have both read Revelation from front to back, beginning of Revelation to the end. At the War of Armageddon, does it say, Steve, that the USA or this great nation would be at the Armageddon War? The answer is no. N-O. It's not included. And it's not included by design because it wasn't there, because it was destroyed.
Agreed. And I'm on record, as you know, we're the daughter of Babylon, mystery Babylon. We are going to be destroyed. And that's what I think, Doug, the big issue is across the entire United States. SG, respond. America will not acknowledge because of our sin, because of our bloodthirstiness, because of our slaughter, because of innocent lives all over the world, that we are under divine judgment. And until people will acknowledge that, they'll just whine and cry. They'll moan, and basically nothing will change until the riots begin. There's no food in the street. There's nothing to eat. There's no medicine in the hospital until people see exactly the fruit of their rebellion. Nothing, including most lives, won't change. Is that accurate?
100%. And by the way, the judgment will not stop until those who can be saved because they repent. Otherwise, end of game, end of story. Okay? In other words, let me give you an example. I know a person. There's a big typhoon coming inbound. Okay? Very poor person. Had a baby. Said, God, my life and the baby's in your hands. Kid you not, gentlemen. Either side of that house, the destruction of the typhoon, was a Cat 5 typhoon, blew the whole area apart except for that house. Okay. One very big. House was untouched. They woke up in the morning. Storm was gone. Destruction all around. But they were preserved. God can do anything. That means you could be sitting in an area where a blast of some kind is intended. God can protect you from that blast if you're supposed to be there on the other side. In other words, after the blast is done, if you're supposed to do something, God will preserve you. Example, I'm here even though there was intent to kill. Okay? I will be on this planet to the nanosecond. 10 to the minus 9. That's how, you know, nanosecond that God decides that my job is finished. At that point, nobody can change anything because every heartbeat, every breath, every is under his authority. Okay? Same with you, Steve. Same with you, Doug. Nobody can remove you from this life until your job for God is complete. So what you got to do is make sure you're doing God's job the way he wants you to do, and he'll still be here. It's about that simple.
Amen. We only have about 2.5 minutes left, but I got to tell you, this has been one of the most informative broadcasts. If you listen close from the weaponry right through the entire, well, coming right back here now to our purpose on this planet. Steve, I'm going to turn it over to you. Go ahead.
Well, first of all, you know, thank you, SG. I know what it, you know, I know the history of what you've been through. Obviously, ladies and gentlemen, you can't in 90 minutes cover all the weapons, cover everything that we're covering. But I think the three points that people need to understand, we are at war now economically. We are at war very soon nuclear. And one of the things, too, that I don't think people understand, and I want to turn it over to you, SG, to have this last quote. Is it true that when the nukes go off in Ukraine, that the United States is going to be hit with a massive nuclear barrage? You've got about a minute to answer that.
I can answer it in less than a minute.
Good
the answer is
a nanosecond.
The answer is everything is being organized that the Ukraine, Europe, and the U.S. and the U.K. will all be hit within 30 seconds of each other, because within 30 seconds, there is no way you can respond. And by the way, it'll be the warning that you have will be about 1.5 to 2 minutes from launch detect to impact.
And to people who understand that and grasp it, 35% of the American population was in favor, and I would say wrongly so, of a nuclear war in Ukraine. But the disconnect, Doug and SG, was a fact that it's coming here, and we're targeted, and we've got advanced weaponry overhead. We've got advanced weaponry. And that's not giving the enemy anything more than telling the truth. It's not propaganda. What you saw Matt Gaetz, in essence, drilling and grilling the Secretary of Defense, that should scare everybody into repentance and calling on God, because there's no one coming to our aid. There's no anti-ballistic missile system can deal with hypersonics. So, ladies and gentlemen, turn to Jesus today. And I'll never get tired of saying that until I'm no longer on the earth. God bless you, Doug. God bless you, SG.
SG, thank you so very much for your gracious gift of knowledge, your time. Steve, thank you for arranging this interview with Science Guy. And Science Guy, again, I want to thank you for your commitment to the truth and prior service to the country and continued service to everybody who is listening. May God bless you and keep you safe. Folks, that'll do it for us. Many, many, many thanks to Steve Quayle. stevecoyle.com, gen6.com. Make sure you get his private briefings, as well as his Q-Files Mega Drought, too. Oh, Mega Drought. Order that, too. And Science Guy, God bless you. Talk soon. Folks, good night.